There's an old saying.
It goes something like this. If your religion leaves your life unchanged, then you better change your religion. Jesus meant something like this in John 3:16. When he invited Nicodemus to cross over into a spiritual threshold that was very misunderstood. In fact, I could even say that that's the reason why Jesus came into this world, is because for a couple of thousand years, it was misunderstood what it meant to be a God-fearing person. Everybody thought that it meant something like obeying the law, that you get into heaven because you do all the right things, and therefore, because you've done all this stuff, then God says, okay, you passed the test, now you can come in. Well, that's a big misunderstanding of what God really wanted out of people. Because Jesus was not really asking people, well, I want to give you some new information here that you can kind of memorize, and then you can repeat back to me, and then therefore you'll be good people. Or it was not because it was all up to them. He meant something entirely different to that. Jesus wanted the people to say, there's something different that happens in which you are actually going to have an experience with God. What do you start thinking about when you meet somebody who says, well, God said to me. You did? What did he say? And if you push that question a little bit further, have you got any proof? That, a lot of times people said, God said to me, we lock them up in an institution. We call them mentally unbalanced. Well, Jesus was hinting at, well, maybe you ought to rethink that whole attitude about personal relationship with God. Maybe there's something more to that than just you're nuts. You see, Nicodemus, like us, have a hard time understanding what Jesus is talking about here. Born again? You think about it long enough, for most of us, we get a little bit frightened with that kind of terminology. What does such a birth mean? Is it some kind of strange supernatural experience where the clouds open up and a deep voice cries out of heaven, I want you for myself? Is it some kind of strange supernatural experience? Does one become a fanatic? In one sense, isn't this what we're seeing on the newspapers every day? ISIS? Isn't that what they're saying? We're doing this because we're doing what God wants us to do, and we know what it is. Isn't this what the snake handlers do? They weave these snakes around and they put it under themselves. God won't let this snake bite me. And even if it does bite me, I'll be resistant to the poison. Isn't that? The phrase to be born again gives many conflicted feelings. We know that We know we're supposed to be some kind of special people. We know that we're supposed to be different. But we want our faith to be in God to influence us in our decision making, but not make us psychotic. We've all been like Nicodemus, wanting a spiritual rebirth and fearing it all at the same time. Well, Jesus used three analogies in this lesson that was read to you about what actually happens in this spiritual regeneration of our being. Life comes, it seems, on two levels. At least that's how the Greeks understood it when they wrote the New Testament. Greek thinking is what you find in the New Testament. If you go to the Old Testament, you find Hebrew thinking. And it's a different way of looking at the world and perceiving it. And in the New Testament, where our lesson came from, it's basically Greek thought. And so they divide the two ways in which God works with us. They say, well, God works spiritually with us, and then God works physically with us. Okay, and this lesson is all about how do you cross that divide? How do you make something spiritual become real? How do you take something that's physical and say, well, this is really God working now? It causes its problems, but it also has its interesting way of looking at things. So God came in Jesus, crossing that divide, took something that is spiritual, whatever the term the Son of God means, you know, and theologians for 2,000 years have been trying to figure that one out. I mean, the fact that Jesus is supposed to be the Son of God, well, that's really no new concept. All the ancient religions talked about that kind of thing where a God becomes human. God would go off and have human wives, and they'd have a being created that was half God and half. That's not the new thing. That's not what it's. That's just a way of trying to describe something that we really can't understand. How can God somehow communicate with us? That's what Jesus was trying to get at. How do you cross this divide? Jesus came, and he was as human as you or I. You can't wipe that away by saying, but he was really God. No. He was just as human as you or I. He feels everything just like you and I feel everything. But he taught the things of God. He taught the Spirit of God. And because of that, he was God. Now, you can really start to poke holes in my argument, I know, because I'm talking about something that you either believe or you don't believe. And then, of course, you have to ask the question, well, what is it makes that you believe? And I would say, I'm lucky, and so are you. If you believe, it's only because God has put that wish within you. You could say no to it, and some do. So it is the gifts that Jesus brings that show us what the Spirit of God is really all about. It is God's Spirit in our lives that's the prime motivator. It is God's Spirit that gets inside of us and starts to make us question our own actions. Are we so smart? Are we so strong in our opinions of what's right and wrong that we always make the right decisions? Well, you know, that's not the truth. happens to us is that we give in to that Spirit of God that keeps knocking on the doors of our hearts. That's what Jesus was saying. You must be born again. You must listen to that Spirit and change the way you do things. That's what being born again is. It's a gift of God. Arthur Brisbane once said that this thing that I'm talking about right now, it's a little bit like this. Here's what he said. We can sweep the world clean of militarism. We may scrub the world white of autocracy. We can carpet it with democracy and drape it with the flag of republicanism. We may hang on the wall the thrilling pictures of freedom, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. There, a portrait of Joan of Arc, on yonder over there, the Magna Carta. We may spend energy and effort to make the world a paradise itself, where the lion of capitalism will lie down with the proletarian lamb. But if we turn into this splendid room, humankind, with the same old heart, deceitful and desperately wicked, we may experience to have to clean the house again in not too many days hence. The world might be a better place for a while, but only for a while. It is Jesus who puts his Spirit into us and enables us to put on our own, to put our own spiritual and physical house in order, to keep it clean, to keep working to do the will of God. It is the spiritual birth of Jesus within us that truly gives us a hope for a more meaningful life, both now in this world and in whatever God has prepared for us after we've gone. Well, there's a second analogy now. Jesus uses it, and it is the analogy of water. He says you can't really enter into the kingdom of God unless you've been born of water and then also the Spirit. One can't be born again without giving up something. You have to give up the old ways. We have to lay aside the past. Just like the boy who stuck his hand in the vase, and then when he tried to pull it out, it wouldn't come out. And so mom and dad, you know, they got some soap and water and soaped it all up. It still wouldn't come out. They tried oil. They tried all kinds of things. They were just about ready to get a hammer and break the vase. And then the little boy says, well, would it help if I dropped the quarter I have? You've got to give something up sometimes. Not sometimes, always. If you're really going to make this transformation possible. Because you have to be transformed from somewhere to somewhere. That means that's not going to work anymore. Maybe that's why transformation in people's lives tend to come at crisis points, when it becomes very obvious that what was isn't working anymore. I've got to allow change to take place. So it is with us. We cause ourselves a lot of anguish and a lot of uncomfortableness simply because it's so hard to stop doing what we've always done. It's not easy to give up an old grudge. not easy to say, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to bite my tongue. I'm going to hold my fist. I'm not going to strike back. I'm not going to give them what they deserve. I feel like I'm striking out against the American way now. I feel like Teddy Roosevelt was really wrong. Speak softly and carry a big stick. I don't think Jesus would have agreed with him. I don't think so. The new birth necessitates the death of the old life. And each of us has to figure that out for themselves, what that old life is. You can think about it long enough, and you can think about what it is in my life that's kind of holding me back. It's not for me to point it out to you. Not unless you really make it so obvious that I can't have to say something. But for most of us, we don't make this very obvious. Especially those of us who are sitting in this room and have been sitting in this room for all of our life. You especially don't like to have the minister point it out to you. The third analogy. Jesus used the analogy of the wind. The Spirit of God blows through all of us like the wind through the trees. And you can see the leaves quivering. You can see the trees bending, but you can't see the power that's causing this. But it's still, we can always see where God has been, but it's always hard to see him. The image that I love is that God is like always behind the veil. There's always this curtain. And every once in a while, he'll peek out. We'll say, oh, God. That was God. But all I saw was this. You know, birth of my children. Those moments when you think, this woman you gave me, it's the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. Or this husband, or this whatever. We all have our peaks at God. Or when God peeks out at us. People can deny those moments. And what are they left with? If you deny God, well, first of all, to deny God is a religious statement. So you don't like my God, what God do you like? Well, you want to worship money? Worship money. If you don't like money, well, maybe you can worship sex. And if that doesn't do it for you, well, maybe you can just worship being an angry, cantankerous old grump. If you don't want to be that, you know, we can figure out whatever we want to fall down and say, this is what really controls my life. These people are like the farmer who thinks that he himself or she herself is responsible for whether the crops are going to come in this year. When I think there have been some, there was this one agricultural school, it was in Illinois, that said that in order for a bushel of corn from 1 acre of land to prosper, it needs 4 million pounds of water. And it needs 6,880 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other requirements too numerous to list. In addition, are required sunshine and the right time, And although many hours of the farmer's labor are needed, it is estimated that only about 5% of the effort needed to grow one bushel of corn on 1 acre of land require the farmer at all. The other 95% is pure gift here. How much of our life is just, when you think about it, just pure gift? You didn't deserve any of it, but you got it all. The wind blows where it will. God has decided that he loves you, loves me. No, I don't want to put love down. Sometimes you can talk, oh, God loves you, everything's okay. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the very fact that we have any belief at all, that we can enter into this life that we live for however how many years it is, it's all a gift. It's God who created the earth. It's God who created the universe. It's God who created the minds that allow us to think. It's God who does it all. All we can do is thank God. So, Jesus helps us cross over this spiritual divide. This, how can God be God and we be human and understand something that is that you can't understand? In order to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus says you must be born again. This is a beautiful and wonderful change that happens in the human heart. We should not fear it. We should embrace it. It is a change of heart. It is a desire to put one's life in order. It is the ability to lay aside those things that are hurtful. It is the belief that it is a gift of God. Do not be afraid of being born again, my friends. It's already happening in you. Just let it happen. Do not be afraid of what God will ask you to do with this wonderful thing, because God will always ask you to do what is right and what is good and what is kind and what is generous and what is forbearant and what is always going to make your life better, even if you have to experience difficult times. Our bodies grow old, they change. And sometimes we get viruses and sicknesses that we don't want to have. And sometimes people will treat us unkindly. Sometimes they'll even try to harm us. But God is never very far from us. God will help us forbear and do whatever is right in order to face those times. That's why we're here. We're here to say thank you. And like my friend and I here, and I hope all of you, we're going to try. In fact, we said earlier in this worship service that, we said our prayers of repentance, and I said, well, okay, once again, God is going to help us start anew this very moment. Forgave us already. This is just like a little exercise in trying to think about what actually happened in that moment. We are forgiven. Our life can begin anew. Amen, my friends. Believe the gospel. Go forth to live your life in peace. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are thankful for this good day. For your constant loving care for us, for setting us on a new path, giving us hope, preparing us for this life and yet the life you still have prepared for it at its end. So So bless us, Lord, so that we can be a blessing. Help others to see you in our actions and in our thoughts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.